Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Doc, are you with us?
I'm here.
There he is.
Big dog.
Hey, how you doing, mate? I've chatted to you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. We still haven't even crossed paths.
I know.
You came back, I immediately bounced.
People are asking questions. What are you up to, though? Wagwan, brethren.
I'm just in my trailer, bitches.
Yeah, bruv.
What was the last thing that you demanded from someone on set?
Demands, it's hard. Like, sometimes
stop breathing! No
sure
more breathing, Wagwan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no more eye contact.
Eye contact, yeah.
Just look at my shoes.
Look at their shoes. Not even my shoes, man. Look at your shoes as I pass.
Anyone you catch not looking at their own shoes is ejected from the set.
What are you actually working on? What are you doing?
Oh, it's like a 3-part horror series about, like, satanic worshippers.
And as the,
it's just reflecting his
creepy
normal lifestyle, really.
But, you know, being black, you don't die early or anything, do you?
Nah, man. I'm still standing.
That's nice.
No spoilers.
So are you...
Progress.
And you're not the killer either.
yeah, exactly.
You don't die first and you're not the killer. This is amazing.
Progress, man.
Yeah, I'm bucking all sorts of...
This is like paradigm shift.
Yeah. This should have been a footnote in Martin Luther King's dream, you know? This should have been like a PS.
I want to see a film.
Where a black guy doesn't die in the first scene.
Does not kill in the first scene.
How are you enjoying the show, Justin?
Oh, it's brilliant. I'm warming your seat nicely. Yeah, that's my real name, by the way.
Titles.
Yeah, Doc's just exposed me nicely. Yeah, my real name for all the listeners is actually Justin.
Justin's
but you
a
can call
name.
Me Michael.
You know, that happens to me all the time when I'm doing stand-up. Like, I get, if I'm too friendly with certain comedians and they're hosting, they often, like, you get this situation. And now, ladies and gents, Ben. Dude, come on, man. What the hell? Now I've got to explain that as my opening line.
Like, yeah.
In jokes.
Yeah, that works okay for
you. It slips out.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you heard, we were just talking to Cole Keith of Ultra Magnetic MCs.
Yeah, man, how was that? Was he good?
Yeah, it's legend.
Know, sometimes dudes are like monosyllabic. He was good.
No, he was really, really
good,
sort of forthcoming.
Just asking one question and he just goes and goes.
And he wished us well.
He did.
At the end, he cares about our well-being, Doc.
So, I like that.
Yeah,
he really
I like
is cool.
I like that.
By nature.
So,
hey,
but
I saw a little ad popped up on my screen today saying that Michael Payne had a tune with Tommy Lee, and I thought,
yes.
There's a rapper who's called himself Tommy Lee, and I looked close and I was like, no, that's actually the Tommy Lee.
Yeah, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, mate.
Nick, the other dude?
Nick Taylor, he's an Australian producer, big sort of EDM producer over in the down in the Antipodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a mate of mine, and yeah, he just asked, when he came over to London to record some stuff, he got me, Sway, and a few other people in, and he was just like, yeah, as an aside, by the way, Tommy Lee's going to be on this tune. And I was like, what, do you mean the guy who made the first sex tape, like Pamela Anderson's ex?
Yeah,
yeah, never
guess it
forget
wasn't
again.
As much a landmark for me as
yeah,
it was
yeah, yeah.
For
have you
guys.
Seen? You got to see it.
I've not even seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah, you can't forget it if you've seen it. You can't
okay,
unsee
yeah.
it.
Really,
it's brilliant.
He makes music. Tell me, like,
sweet music.
Yes. Woo.
My goodness, that sounds like quite a concoction.
Yeah, it is. It is a Motley Crue, if you like.
I like what you did there.
Thank you.
Oh, the ice cream man. I must have heard we're talking to you, Doc. He's rolling by right now. I know you always get excited when you hear the ice cream man.
Should I pick you something up, mate?
I'll get you a 99p flake.
Can you get me an oyster?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what I was saying to my sister the other day? How grimy is whatever the hell... God knows if that thing ever gets clean when they make the 99 flake,
yeah.
You know.
Because you just see...
What is going in there?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a few stationary ice cream vans, you know, just cotching there. No one cleaning it. Just
nah,
literally
that
just,
hasn't
yeah.
been cleaned since it
and
was
made. And
what
do they do during the winter months? That's the other thing.
It doesn't get clean, that's for sure.
I think
and they get terrorised by kids
no,
as well.
They
so, it. You know, they're like, yeah, you want to throw snowballs at me and terrorize me.
She's got an amazing theory that they cook meth.
They do, that's what they do. And
that's where Breaking Bad comes from.
Yeah.
But, Doc,
I'm working an oyster right now, though, seriously.
For real, though, serious, though. If you can bring me an oyster,
bro. Real talk.
But you know, the Breaking Convention Park Jam, they had this wicked section of the show. They had like a normal cypher, open mic type thing, but then they had a 40 years plus cypher. and then they had a 40 years old plus B-boy cypher also. But it was brilliant. It was wonderful.
With like knee supports and everything.
Yeah, and Zimmer frames, all of it. And, you know, it made me think about, are there certain things that should stop at certain ages? I love all of the everybody who took part yesterday, and I'm not ageist at all, and I think you should keep on rapping as long as you're not damaging my ears.
But I think it's easier for you, don't it? Like, you could just keep DJing and then you probably get an OBE like Norman Jay or some shit. No one's gonna question that. Whereas if me or Michael's keep rapping into our like 60s, people are gonna be like, bruv, allow it.
No, dude, I actually plan to keep rapping. I'm gonna fully retire from rapping like when I'm 65. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you're actually going to retire?
At the retirement age. Yeah. Get a pension in. You know what I mean? That's my plan.
I was going to start when I'm 65.
That's good. Yeah. That's good to do that, I think. Yeah. You know? Once you finish working in the rat race, just think, instead of, you know, going and playing golf in my sort of twilight years, I'm just gonna be a gangster rapper.
Down and wet. Yeah.
But also, I was just saying, like, after the toddler age, you got to stop acting like a brat. So I'm wondering, are there certain things that need to stop at certain ages? And we've been asking the Foo Bar Radio listeners, but Doc, what do you reckon? Have you got anything that you think there's a clear cut-off?
I would say drugs is a big one. there's a point where you've just got to say, you know what? I'm bored of me and my behaviour. Yeah,
and this ice cream van.
Again, I reckon that's something for 64.
I'm truly hoping that day will come for me one day.
We all
I'm
do, sure mate. We all hope that. we did actually get an email in. This one's from Declan and Kenzel Rice, and he says he's just hit 25. He's feeling old. Yeah, he wants to know: is it too late for me to go to festivals? I don't want to shame myself in front of the teens by looking like a grandpa. 25.
Hold on. Did I miss here?
That makes me feel really old.
Yeah. Baby.
You should be in the easy taking the piss category. You know what I mean? 25.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
That means I want to kill him.
Is it Declan?
Declan, mate. Declan. You are an idiot. I'm sorry, mate.
Declan, you're just a baby. It's okay.
25.
Dude, that said, you can be a grandpa at 25 nowadays.
Yeah.
That's true. If you work hard enough.
and your kids do as well, then you know what I mean? That's a dream.
Gosh, that kind of like seriously insulted all of us, Declan, as well, man.
Yeah,
now
dude.
I'm like,
come on, man. You're just questioning my whole life. You've got a good sense of irony, or you are genuinely an idiot, mate.
No, Declan, you're all good. Seriously, you rave it up as much as you like, mate. Yeah. I take my parents out to hip hop jams. We have another one.
Zoe in Brum. She says she's 32 and feels a wee bit too old for kissing hot young boys now.
Never!
But I enjoy it so much, so I ain't stopping.
You're in your prime.
Should stop.
You're in your prime, 32. You're literally in your prime.
I'm loving it, Zoe.
What's hot young boys though? Like 16?
Okay.
How young is she? She didn't say men. Yeah. She said hot young boys.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you need to email us back, Zoe, and verify that we don't need to call the police on you. Doc, it's lovely talking to you as always.
It's a pleasure. Before I go, I should sign off by saying that when my pops was 49, he went to a party and he met a girl who was 19.
Aww.
And yeah, that sort of kicked off. Took her home, got to know her. He started telling her he was like a glamour photographer when actually he was photographing like items for the Littlewoods catalogue.
That's glamorous.
But she went for it and he got some like tasty little snaps of her. And basically pimped it out big style, man.
But then
he fell in love with her.
I think I remember seeing that on Crime Watch.
Yeah, man. Twisted. I found those photos.
You're traumatized.
Love you, Doc.
We'll catch you soon, dude.
Maybe we'll do a rap about anything.
Yeah, mate. I've actually been deliberating, Doc, over whether I should sort of do this. Well, I can't feel your boots, mate.
You should do it, man.
I can't feel your boots, mate. You know, for me, that's your legacy. Yeah, but then it's, you know what I mean? I think you only pass the baton when you're bowing out, and it's just a hiatus right now, you know? I'm warming your seat, but I'm not filling your shoes, mate.
Yet.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect that.
But have a good day.
Enjoy
have a good shoot.
Yeah, you too, bro.
You're locked
enjoy
into.
Enjoy your trailer
before I get back on set. Yeah, listen, I always enjoy it, man.
Good.
Next time you walk past, you see it rocking.
That trailer lifestyle.
I'm knocking.
You know he's by himself.
Yeah. Literally just rocking.
Rocking.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
What? You're tuned into FUBAR. And Doc is actually here.
Listen,
you need to speak into the microphone. You've been away so long, you've forgotten the protocol. You know the logo at the front. Speak into the logo at the front.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, you spent too much time chilling on beaches in tropical places.
It's been a Hollywood life.
Basically.
Actually, we did have a bit of a theory, because the last time you said, oh, yeah, I'm in my trailer, I'm on set. And we all thought, hang on, maybe times are just a bit tough and he's actually living in a trailer and he's just trying to keep up the pretense of everything's fine. So what
has
it been?
All these little backdrops that I can move to Instagram shots, you know? So I just stick a new one up, take a picture of myself. But give it out there.
You still need to speak into the front of the mic, Don.
Oh, yeah? Is it still not the front? I feel like a guest. I flew out to Barbados.
What's Barbados saying, though? I've never made it to Barbados.
Barbados is a tiny, tiny, tiny island with like 280,000 people on it who all sound like they're from Somerset. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, you're right, we. You right, boy?
I love the accent.
Yeah, so I was spending most of the week listening to this song called Go Down by a guy called Lil Rick, who's kind of a rapper out there. And it's like a soca tune, you know?
Soca,
but when
soca.
He starts rapping, honestly, who taught you to win like that? It's amazing. We got to get it up on the show.
Down.
It's superb.
Yeah, man.
Who told you you could win like that? Ah, it's amazing.
I love it.
What a place. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
White sand, you know, coral reefs. Cold beers.
Okay, enough of that because it's like hurricane season outside right now.
Yeah, but you know what? I heard that we were going to have a crazy heat wave at the end of the week.
I'm not sure. Like, they keep going
listen,
back
how many times do you hear that? And then it's
going,
like,
yeah, well, that's
this
what
heat
saying.
Wave was like 15 degrees.
Because they said it was going to be the hottest June like since 1910. It's going to be like a big heat wave coming through, and then they changed it like yesterday. Like, oh, actually, it's going to be gale force winds now.
But I love how they pull these random since 1910. Okay.
Or since records began. That's the
one. Yeah, that's
don't
the
trust
go-to
any
one.
Of it anymore. Mm-hmm. Just deal one day at a time.
Yep.
Later, too, we have Doc potentially rapping about anything.
Very possibly. Depends when those suggestions come in, really.
Mm. Yes.
If they come in nice and early, then I'll try and write it.
But you were talking about something you witnessed
Barbados.
In Barbados.
Yeah, no, it was just the day before yesterday. I went to this beautiful beach on the West Coast, which is where all the sort of millionaires hang out, you know.
What were you doing there?
I smuggled myself on because a lot of those beaches, they're private to the hotel, so you go on there and then some dude comes up like, what are you doing here, boy?
Yeah.
and you get booted off. But also a lot of them have little public sections, so I went into the public section of this beautiful beach with a coral reef on it, and was chilling there, and the kids were splashing about in the sea. And, you know, every now and then go in there and, you know, muck about with them, play a bit of catch, whatever. And then I saw this other dad walk on, right? Ripped to shit. Whipped off his vest. It's just like exploded out of his vest.
You're admiring the view.
Exploded out of his
vest.
Tatted up. Yeah.
Wow.
Tatted up. And he had four kids with him. And he was like, okay, go play. He was American.
And that sounded American.
Yeah. And they ran off into the shallows. And he goes, okay, now walk towards me. And he pulled out this little camera.
Okay.
You know, this little camera. I was like, oh, that's sweet. He's, you know, get a few shots of his kids. Yeah. And he's like, okay, slow it down. And he pulled out a tripod and then put the camera on the tripod. And he goes, okay, now do it again. Do it again.
Gosh.
And then walk back and then walk towards him again. He goes, okay, that's great. He goes, okay, now dive into the shallows. And he pulled out another camera out of a case. A flipping Steadicam thing that he put onto his chest.
Guan.
And he's like filming
he
him
was
on,
serious. He
on
was committed.
Steadicam.
He was committed.
And then he started getting some establishers of the whole beach. Then he gets out another case, opens it up, right? Pulls out a flipping drone.
Oh, God.
Attaches a GoPro to it. Puts his iPhone into this remote control thing in his hands and then shoots the drone. Everyone's like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, God.
And then,
to make a home movie.
Yeah. And then just to make a home movie. And then my kids started like asking me, like, can I do this, can I do that? I just looked to this guy and I was like, dude,
what?
Just making us all look terrible.
Yeah.
It was
how?
Like one of those little floating islands.
You went
like, it was like Ultimate Dad.
Him.
It was one of those little islands, right?
Putting all the other dads on the beach to shame.
Like a floating island with benches on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife comes out and she's like, kids, race you to the island. And she dives into the sea like some Olympic swimmer and gets the island like 2 seconds. And all the boys like start swimming after him. And then dad jumps in And I thought, you know, like I say, he looked like a brick shit house. It looked like he was going to, like, go under the island and just lift the whole island up. Right? Yeah.
I'm loving it. What's wrong with that? Well, you and the nobody.
No, it's too perfect.
The grass is always greener because you see a dad like that and you're like, oh my god, he's a cool dad, he's not a regular dad, he's a cool dad, but he's got all these things and got all these toys. But I guarantee you, mate, this has nothing to do with the kids. This is, he will be putting them to work at just about any situation. He'll be at a football match watching one of the kids and it's like, do it again, I didn't film it, I gotta edit that, I'm now gonna go back to post production.
It's gonna be a massive pain in the ass.
I wanted to interview his kids.
Yeah. I like how you're just assuming he's doing all, he's making the kids do this. There's something weird about him.
Too many gadgets.
Maybe he's just having fun on his other days.
Maybe. But I'm a very judgmental man, Sarah. Yeah. Very judgmental.
Especially if they're making you look worse, isn't it?
No. I hate those great dads.
No, that sounds fun. No, but I tell you what, being in San Francisco earlier this year, seeing just like drones flying around the city.
Is out of control right now.
It's because they're having to like bring in laws about how they're going to monitor.
They're going to take down an aircraft or something. Yeah. They can get so high.
Yeah.
I'm not even worried about that. I'm talking about like
anyone
surveillance.
Can buy them, like your privacy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, what if you have a drone that can just hover up to this window and watch you while you're sleeping? That's a bit like Father Christmas, isn't it?
I guarantee you perverts are all over the drone thing.
Oh, mate, with the flock of drones I've got, they can go up to about 20 stories easily. Yeah. And like mine can shoot around walls and stuff like that as well. So
I'm not even worried about the perverts. Yeah. I'm worried about the law. Yeah. I'm worried about the police.
Yeah, let's check out Dorm 8.
Yeah. Amazon looking at doing drone deliveries.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, maybe this is the future that we are facing, where it's going to actually be a much more practical way of doing things. But you reckon that's a kind of embarrassing dad behaviour?
Mm. Kind of, yeah. I mean, obviously he thought he was the shit, no question. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like, just spending a bit of quality time with the kids. Yeah. You know, basic.
They can make their own fun. Build a sandcastle. Mm. And
tell them to look like they're having fun so I can film it from 17 different angles. to me, that's embarrassing dad behaviour.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But actually, when we do Know They Didn't, we got some proper embarrassing dad behaviour. Yes.
Well, let's get into some Know They Didn't, because we kind of been missing out on Doc's take on Know They Didn't.
We have.
I think we should do this. Let's do this.
Oh, dear.
You remember that music, right?
Oh, my God. Like, no.
All right, Doc. Who's blowing your mind this week, mate? Who's doing stuff to make you say, no, they didn't?
Doc always does a really sexy lap dance for me when I play this tune.
Still got my Movember moustache.
Now that is embarrassing behaviour.
Doc Diggler.
This week's No They Didn't is really just about unnecessary rapping, but it's also about embarrassing dads in a way. It's twofold.
There's a lot of unnecessary rapping going on constantly.
Listen, there's all sorts of unnecessary rapping, mainly from professional rappers. But what we don't need, in addition to that, is non-professional rappers coming and having a go. Because anyone can do it. It's just talking, isn't it? To music. I'll have a bit of that.
You know, I mean, but I feel like so many people look at rap and they think, oh, that's easy enough.
Yeah, that's easy. I can do
that.
It's
the same way they look at playing drums and like, whatever.
Just whack it, don't you? Whack it. Yeah. Whack it to the beat. 1, 2, 3, 4.
But no, what's been going on this week with the unnecessary rapping?
Well, in the proud tradition of John Barnes, we've got two huge celebrities.
John Barnes rapping. You remember John Barnes rapping?
John Barnes rap is legendary to be.
No, that was a classic.
At the same time.
You can't be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. They'll always hit you and hurt you.
Oh, I forgot about that. I've got to add that to the playlist.
There's only one way to beat them.
Go round the back.
Oh, man.
I need to add that to the playlist and drop that in the club. I bet you if I drop that in the club, people would love it.
Now, Barnes, he got it right. Okay. He was like, I'm gonna spit this 16 in a mouth. Yeah, but then there's other dudes that think, no, maybe I could start a movement. Maybe I can make a real difference with my raps. And the two criminals that have undertaken this in the past couple of weeks are, on different ends of the spectrum, Hollywood movie star Idris Elba.
Right. Yeah.
And every mum's favourite celebrity chef, Jamie Oliver.
Double whammy in 1 week.
I mean, like I say, different ends of the spectrum in terms of who they are, but very similar rap ability.
Yes.
Very similar.
I just got a feeling about that.
Now, in a way, I kind of prefer Jamie's because he's got a very, very... he definitely knows he's shit.
I was going to say, he's not trying to be cool.
Is he rubbing about food, though? Is he
Oh, hell
course,
yeah.
Of course he is.
Hell yeah.
Of course he is.
On the remix, it's all pussy. Yeah. Right? Like on the first one, it's just food.
Yeah, the B-side.
The remix
is
like a more of a metaphor.
Cracking with, guns.
More about a metaphor of what to eat and what not to eat.
Is it with Fat Man Scoop, too?
Fat Man Scoop! Jamie on the bar! Who's cooking tonight? Who's cooking tonight? Who's cooking tonight?
Shoot it up! Shoot it up!
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Every week on the show, we have a very important roundup.
The hashtag Rap About Anything has been doing its thing. I haven't even plugged it that much, so big up you lot and all your selections. Who should I shout out first? Let's see. I should shout out Adam Lindsay at Adam D. Lindsay on Twitter. Thanks for your suggestion about the shower, the mirror being too steamed up. Shout out to all the Palace fans who always want me to rap about Palace. It's not going to happen. Shout out to Koo at Koo. That's somebody's Twitter name. See, with 14 O's. Well. The corruption in FIFA. I'm not going to rap about that today. The In Between Us. Thank you, Callum. And so many suggestions. Thanks to Ian O'Neill, Nisa Khan, Teresa Don O'Brien. But I have gone with Matthew Thomas at Matthew Thomas 32 on Twitter, who's just put BO problems on the tube.
Which is something
I think we can all relate to. So here we go.
So Doc is going to rap about the BO problems on the tube.
Just wait to come around again.
You've got a professional rapper on the backups in the studio, too. Okay, so take it
away,
Doc.
You're saying like he's not a professional
rapper. Backups.
All right, here we go. Yo. Shout out to Matthew Thomas. He's got an issue and he's on it. And he ain't gonna try to keep it from us. Universal problem, I'm damn sure. Cause everybody hates BO on public transport. Picture it, dude. Your daily commute, train or a bus or in London, the tube. Whichever one, yeah? It's crowded and it's Monday. Body to body, you're surrounded. Now you think if you had to spend an hour squashed up with strangers, mate, you take a shower, but no. Oh, you're just way too rebellious. You'd rather play a game called Who's the Smelliest? Well, let me tell you this. If you're getting on my carriage, damn it, you need to know how to manage your personal hygiene for everybody's sake, bruv. Tomorrow morning, step your bathroom game up. See that round slippery thing? That's a soap. Have a little play with that so we can cope. No, I don't care about your feelings, bruv. I'm going in. I'll walk you to the store and buy deodorant. So listen, Matthew, I feel your pain. Unless it's really you who's been stinking up my train.
Matthew Thomas,
thanks for the suggestion.
Unless it's really you.
Keep your suggestions coming in. And me, us.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Remember, we want your subjects for Dr. Rap
we
About.
We do. Rap About Anything at FUBAR Radio. I've already had a wealth of suggestions. Thank you very much. But what I need is that one that just makes me laugh just looking at it. And then that's the one I'm going to write about.
Yeah, Pete in Pimlico, he inspired you quite a lot.
Pete in Pimlico, we're thinking perhaps, because I start on a new TV shoot.
Yes, and we want to hear all about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a bit. And I don't know, speaking to Pete in Pimlico, I just thought, what a fucking legend this guy. I mean, have you ever heard anyone like him? The thing is, because we've never met him, like, I try and picture him.
I know.
And I just can't quite picture him. I think he's black. I don't say that out of any disrespect or any kind of racism.
No.
I'm telling you now, yeah, and you can call in if you want to have a beef with me over this. I know the difference between the sound of a black person
and
a white person.
Give me a high five to that.
I was
going to
say that on air.
Many times
I was
going to
say that on air. If I never met Sarah Love, I would guess she was black or mixed race. I'm just throwing it out there. I know. It's the same way I can tell if you're Australian before you open your mouth, just from looking at you on the street. I'm not saying it's a racist thing. I'm just saying it's a skill that I have. All right?
No, okay? But definitely,
that's
like,
all I'm
you
saying.
Can hit, I think, as a black person, you can recognize when you're listening
one
to
or
black
two
voice.
People might throw me, but I'm saying it's one or two. Like, people say, oh, what about Ainsley Harriet? No, I would know Ainsley Harriet
even,
is black.
Yeah.
Even with that voice. Chris Eubank, even with that voice, I know he's black. I can't tell you what it
I
is.
Like these examples.
You just got to grow up in a black family and you just understand there's a slightly different cadence. There's a slightly different tone to the voice. I don't know what it is.
The aura of
all right?
the soul.
We're not talking about...
Yeah, so we're guessing that Pete and Bimlico is black.
I don't know what he looks like.
I reckon he's got locks.
You reckon? Now, this is coming from someone with locks, so don't take that in the wrong way either, yeah?
I reckon he's got locks.
He's unemployed. That much is guaranteed.
because
he's available to think of things you need
available.
To rap about.
He's
every
always
week.
Available, and he's got lists of issues.
Yeah. Gripes.
He's got gripes.
He's got gripes in
he's
Pimlico.
He's got full time gripes.
We should just rename him Gripes in Pimlico.
Gripes. Pete Gripes.
MC Gripes.
Pete Gripes.
I'm putting forward that we have a news section live from Pimlico.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'm totally up for getting him involved in everything because he just...
Jeff and Kilburn, big up to you
Jeff
as well.
Jeff and Kilburn as well.
Jeff and Kilburn,
like
I think
white
is
version
white.
Of Pete.
Yeah, I want to pit them against each other.
And let's be real here.
Let's give them a debating
Sarah
section
and I
in
have
the
never
show.
Seen either of these men.
We're purely
but I know Jeff is white and I know Pete is black and I know they would get on. They would have a lot of shit to talk about. It'd be beautiful.
I want to set them up in like a debate situation.
Yeah, man. Debating society.
Yeah. Kilburn versus
oh,
Pimlico.
Man.
But Pete in Pimlico, are you with us?
Yeah.
Big Pete.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of
yeah,
course
guys.
I am. And Pete, like, of course, you're becoming like a bit of a regular on this show.
I'd call him a contributor.
Yeah.
I'd call him a contributor.
But yeah, contributor. So, but I'm wondering, what is Pete in Pimlico's stance on PDAs? Is it all good or is it like,
well,
no?
When I heard PDA, I was thinking personal digital assistants. And I used to sell them. I thought I could come on and sell a few.
Give us your pitch. Pete, what would your pitch be if we were
to... before how what the pen and paper is history, blood. It's history, isn't it? Why not have a personal digital assistant with one of them plastic stylus? And put the information in it, read your writing.
I can see you've got a strong business plan behind you there, Pete. But what about
used to? Yeah, till Bill Gates. Yeah,
he shut down.
You get me? Yeah.
He ruined it for Pete and Pimlico.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Oh, he
you got
shit.
Beef with.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
One of them.
One of them.
Oh, yeah,
same
PDAs.
Difference. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I like them.
I bet you do. No, I mean, are
I mean,
you saying...
For yourself,
like
or like,
them.
You
I
don't
like,
mind
I
seeing
like
them?
Seeing.
You like,
I like
seeing them?
Seeing them as well.
Okay. Hold on, wait. Before we go any further, Pete, can we confirm that you... can we confirm that you are black?
I'm black.
Are you?
Black or white? I'm black and white, I am.
Yay! Nick James, people are taking over the station.
Okay.
I'm off at the same time.
Okay, because this is a situation, Pete, before we get back into the PDA thing. We were talking about what a brilliant guest you've always been and a contributor on the show.
Yeah.
I was saying, like, and I guarantee you he's black or mixed race. We were just trying to work out what you look like.
I had no
idea. And Sarah said, yeah, definitely. And then we started talking about, well, actually, that's open for debate because a lot of people say you can't hear a man's like ethnic makeup through the phone, but I believe that you can, right? And as two people of color on the show, me and Sarah both agreed on this, so it's not that controversial. And I'm just glad to hear you back that up because it would have fucked
would
up
have
the whole
really embarrassing.
It would have been embarrassing.
But don't you reckon?
But we know when we're talking, to each other. You know what I mean? That's how it goes.
But
it?
I mean, even just in the tone of the voice, you can sense something. Pick up on something, isn't
it? Yeah,
being,
yeah.
Like, okay. Anyway, let's move on from that. But you're saying PDA.
Yeah, move on. It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter anyway.
No, of course not.
No, it doesn't matter.
We're not saying that.
It's just an interesting observation.
You're saying
that's
it
all. What?
No, he's not saying that it matters.
No. We're not saying it matters here.
No,
like,
listen, we don't want to
lose. Let's not go down that road.
We don't want to lose 91.6% of our listenership.
Yeah.
So let's just stay
but it
cool
does
here.
Matter as well at the same time as it not mattering.
It's deep.
What's that? That's too much for me,
deep,
Pete.
Yeah.
You went interstellar on me, man. You went interstellar on me. You're behind the bookcase right now, man. I'm tripping out.
It's right.
But back
okay,
to
so
the
listen,
PDAs.
So you obviously you're all good having them. I'm in your camp. How do you feel when you're walking home, you're about your business, you're working out your next business proposition that you're going to bring to the streets and make some money off. You're all about business, and all of a sudden some couple burst out of a pub door in front of you and start tonguing each other down big style in front of your face.
Have a pause from thinking about the business,
Yeah, and focus. Stay focused.
Break in the thought and help it, help me maybe come out of this zone. Go have a look. I saw one yesterday.
Come back with fresh eyes.
Saw one yesterday.
I saw one yesterday in
Break
a hatchback car. A man stuck in his, well, I don't know if it was his girlfriend. Probably not, in it because he's in a car.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Rewind. This is not a family show, Pete, so be free. What did you say? Are you in a hatchback car?
He was stuck in his girlfriend's titty like he was a baby at the milk, lactating. But
whoa, whoa, whoa. Pete, can we... there's a lot of shit here I need to clarify.
Did this really happen, Pete, or is this your imagination?
Is this Pimlico? Is this Pimlico?
I couldn't up and look. I was embarrassed, lad, so I walked down by, but I saw it with my own eyes.
Is this how people get down in Pimlico?
People get down in Pimlico, yeah.
Damn. But you didn't have anything against that, per se?
I'm not against it at all.
But we've got some emails as well.
Thanks,
what
Pete,
are they
man,
saying on
legend.
The URG?
We have got some emails. People are very passionate about this. Should we go for an against or a with, Sarah? You choose.
Well, against to balance
just start
out
with an
from
against.
Pete's passionate.
And surprise, surprise, the first against is from a female.
Thank
she says,
you,
hi, Doc and Sarah. I hate PDAs. And I once went out with a boyfriend. This is a great email, by the way. I once went out with a boyfriend I like to call, and this is in quotation marks, the washing machine. due to his kissing technique.
Ooh.
He always used to do a full-on PDA in pubs, bars, clubs, you name it. He tried to rinse cycle me.
Is this Drake?
You name it.
It sounds like this is Drake.
You name it.
Us.
You name it. He tried to rinse cycle me in it. It got so bad, I had to tell him it wasn't him, it was me, and I had a phobia of kissing, so I couldn't go out with him anymore.
Wow.
It was for the best. Best, listen,
that's
hardcore, man. That's hardcore. I'll tell you when it is kind of wrong, yeah? When you're out with other friends and then the guy that you've brought or the girl that you've brought is just on you the whole time. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation here. Like, I'm trying to catch up with my mate.
This
and
is
you're
not
like,
what
tonguing,
it's like being
tonguing
a superstar
down.
Comedian like Doc.
This
like,
is, I, bro, listen,
batting
bro,
the girls off. I'm control yourself, ladies.
I'm trying to do an hour of stand-up here. Just get the hell off me.
I'm working. I'm working.
Baby, I'm working. So here's a four. Thanks, Bess. This is a really simple one from Vince in Canterbury. I love a nice bit of PDA. If a girl
sorry, is that a guy?
Yeah, this is Vince. Okay. Vince in Canterbury. If a girl won't kiss me in public, she don't like me. Simple. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Vince. And then, actually, it's quite nice. We'll finish with Adam Baker. And he's just said he's on both sides of the fence with this.
Ooh.
So he's for it with his missus. But he's well against being gammed by an OAP with halitosis. Smiley face. Now, I've never heard the phrase gammed. Has anyone
me
heard
neither.
That? Gammed?
Have you heard gammed?
Gammed?
No.
Maybe, so do you think he means to... gummed? Do you think he means gummed?
Maybe gummed. Yeah, maybe it's the autocorrect.
He's assuming
or
like an OAP hasn't got teeth, which is... that's really wrong because a lot of them have got dentures. And a lot of them are actually very experienced kissers, Adam. So...
Are you speaking from experience?
I'm speaking from experience. Oh, Cheryl's come in for the ladies.
Cheryl, tell us.
And Cheryl just says, I'm a serious PDA-er. I've put it on my dating profile.
Oh, boom. Yes!
Cheryl.
Go on, Cheryl.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Johnsy's walked into the studio and
shit
it's
got
like,
real.
Yeah.
Immediately.
My goodness.
Immediately.
For real.
Divisive arguments already, guys. Mm. Come on. Can't we just all get along?
We were talking about butt squeezing in public before Johnsy DK.
Yeah. Now we're like,
shit got real.
Got like, yeah, bring it.
Yeah.
But Johnsy D, welcome to the show. What a pleasure to have you here.
I'm really happy to be here. I must say, I didn't realize I was coming to here. I thought I was gonna go to HFM to be honest with you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Shh, don't mention it. It's like, don't mention the war. don't mention the rivals.
Big up Itch.
I
love it. This is FUBAR Radio, and this is some next level shit.
You hit a roll now. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Like, this is a world of free speech, mm-hmm. of a lot of shit talking,
yes.
a little bit of rap, and yes. also a lot of intelligence as well. We mix it up a lot here, and I think, like, Itch is a happy rival to have because we do very different things.
Oh, completely different. And there's no rivalry. It's pure camaraderie, in my opinion. And I feel like, you know, here, FUBAR, we bring a little bit of a different flavour to FUBAR. And so for us, it's nice for, you know, us to represent what's going on within our hip-hop community. And I feel Johnsy, mm-hmm. you know, not only over the years have you done so much, and we were speaking there about Record Store Day, and I think that was definitely where I first met you, was in the Deal Real Knoll Street.
That's...
But, yeah, over the years, you've been cultivating the breaking convention. mentioned. So I was like, who better for us to get into the show?
Yeah,
so
shout.
Break down for the people, like, if they're not familiar with John ZD or Breaking Convention, what the hell is Breaking Convention?
Okay, so Breaking Convention is the International Festival of Hip Hop Dance Theatre. That is a very wide statement because we're dealing with the world of hip-hop, but done within the proscenium arch, do you know what I mean? Because, as you know, we understand hip-hop is done in cyphers, in clubs, and maybe on MTV, for example. But this is a way in which we can get into the dimensions of theatre through hip-hop. So that's really, really exciting. As you said, we've been going for years. And actually, I'd like to think of it more. It's increasingly becoming a celebration of hip-hop culture.
Which is a beautiful thing. Because, I mean, this is a controversial statement, and you can agree or disagree, but I feel like you're a pioneer of taking an art form to a place where perhaps beforehand people from that culture, from that background, didn't really feel welcome. The world of theatre has always been seen, in my opinion, as something of an exclusive experience.
Yes.
Establishment.
Yeah, certain people can afford it. So you get situations where even if it's like a Porgy and Bess or an Othello, or like a, you know, something that's kind of a black staple in terms of the story and the performance, you look around yourself in the audience and you're still the only black person there, you know? So, like, I've always felt that theatre was, like, the last sort of area of media that really needed a shake-up.
Well, theatre, I think, is a presentation of colonial ideas.
Okay,
yeah,
break that down.
Hear this now.
Loving it.
Hear this, what I'm saying now. I think that theatre has been separated from the rest of culture, yeah? And that's the reason why they use terms like high arts, because actually it's about establishing the strata system that we actually live in. Do you know what I mean? There are certain people that do this, and there are certain people that do that.
And we were just talking about in this country how we have such more of a class divide rather than in the States how we have a racial divide. So, yeah, in many ways that reflects that also, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. So, therefore, you'll get people talking about classical art, classical ballet, classical opera, for example. But when you focus on contemporary dance, which is that echelon's way of doing, okay, we're going to do something different and call it contemporary dance. That's not contemporary. Them techniques developed in the 1930s with people like Martha Graham and Merce Cunningham. Contemporary dance is what we're doing today.
Yeah.
Because the contemporary dance field hasn't really progressed where dance technique is concerned. But hip-hop has pushed technique. Every week there's a new hip-hop move coming out that's a very highly next-level form of discipline. You've seen b-boys now.
I spoke to Ashley Banjo about this, and Ashley was saying that the street is the new classical. He was saying, like, the street is creating stuff that is on a level with the highest forms of ballet, and it's not really respected as such. And I was saying to him, dude, like, I don't know if you know it, but you're helping bring it to the forefront.
That's,
you know,
right.
How do you feel about, you know, like, diversity and Flawless and these groups that have really brought that world to the mainstream?
What's interesting about these groups is that they were found in a context in which the nation can vote for who they like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So both of these are products of that whole reality TV scenario. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, diversity and who? Sorry?
Flawless.
Flawless. Okay. Flawless came second to diversity.
I see.
But they both sell out huge arenas worldwide now.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, ballet doesn't do that. You know what I mean? So let's just look
at they're grasping to fill the seats, really.
Grasping, and there's a whole bunch of subsidy that's completely out of balance with the subsidy for so-called community arts. Do you know what I mean?
Community. See, things like that are so patronising terms, really, isn't it? That keeps people in their place.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me that once given the opportunity to reach the mainstream, everybody was into it. Do you know what I mean? This art form that had always been pushed down there with graffiti and skateboarding and these so-called antisocial pastimes gave the nation a chance to just go, what do you think of this? And they were like, it's amazing. Yes. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes,
and they voted with their feet.
But you know what's deep about it? If you look at history, history will tell you this was always going to happen. Because if you look at the staple of theatre, particularly the theatre where bums on seats is concerned, where people paying their money, it's jazz dance forms, it's blues music, it's the Buddy Holly story. Mm-hmm. Look at these music forms. That was called nigger music back in the day, right? Am I right or am I wrong? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was what these... So we're in the same situation, do you know what I mean? It's only a matter of a time that we'll probably get some amazing white guy who's going to make the most amazing hip-hop theatre show. Mm. Then it will be art.
Well, I mean, that's a massively controversial statement, and I guess I agree and disagree with you on a couple of levels. I mean, diversity is an interesting one in the basis that it's called diversity because of the huge racial mix between the group itself. Mm-hmm. So you got white kids, mixed race kids, and black kids all in the same group, and they've never really, and this may be partly because of the mainstream way they came to the public's attention, mm-hmm. they've never really been called a black or a white outfit, even mm-hmm. though we all know that what they do has its roots in black culture. Mm-hmm. There's an issue, obviously, we see in hip-hop all the time. We've seen it probably most recently with Macklemore mm-hmm. And Iggy Azalea, where people are suddenly getting awards and mass sort of acceptance on the basis of
promotion.
Possibly, you could say, gentrifying hip-hop.
Yep.
Do you genuinely feel, because I read
about
you...
I don't think
you,
it's a racial thing for me.
I know you from back in the day, mm-hmm. And yet I probably, for the past 10 years, I've read more about you in The Guardian, in The Independent, in The Times, than I have actually spoken to you. And
Doc,
they love the shit out of you.
Dude.
I know, that's a side issue.
I'm disgusted that I'm not hung out because you've been reading about me in broadsheets as well. It's not even like
lying. That's a side issue.
Probably.
That's a side issue. Totally. And the other side issue is, yes, I am something of a wild individual, but I do read the broadsheets, okay? Just deal with it. But I guess the point I'm making is that these very white, very middle-class worlds, they love you. Like, they love what you're... I've never read a bad review about a Jonzy D show mm-hmm. or a concept. At what point do you think, or as an additional question, what do you think you need to do to get the kind of acceptance and understanding that you feel brings your art form to a level with, say, classical ballet, for example?
Okay, I think I was lucky to have trained at London Contemporary Dance School. So what I saw there was the structure and how people justify their art. So for me, I just learned how to justify what I was doing.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, is that you know how to speak their language,
but
you've been able to do it without selling out.
Yes.
And I think that is like where that's the right way to do it.
I think for me, it's because what we do is beautiful. What we do. It is, no?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
He's just being cheeky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like cheeky.
Yeah.
Next time I'll be quicker to get
often.
It.
Yeah.
That was an official invitation. Jonzy D
yes!
is now part of this show.
Yes.
Because I live just down the road.
I know.
And it ain't nothing to come
I'll tell you what.
And Jonzy's a cyclist too.
Oh, for real?
This
okay,
is Cyclist
cool.
United
nice.
Here.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Sorry. But we digress.
Okay, yeah,
as often we do on this show.
We do. I'm glad I'm here for the hour.
Yeah.
So I think that ultimately the diversity thing is key. Because what we've done is we've shown that this culture of hip-hop is not about race.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah?
Exactly.
No one feels marginalized when they're in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
No one feels like, oh,
I'm not supposed to be here.
I'm not, you know what I mean? You know, and there's so many other forms where that feels like that.
Mm. And that's one of the things that I love about hip-hop. At its essence, it's whether you're fresh or not.
Yeah.
And that's all it ultimately boils down to. It doesn't matter what you look like, what your gender is, whatever. Are you fresh or not? Can you bring it?
Yeah, I would bring to that is that if you take lyrics out and put in different forms of art to the hip-hop culture, say graffiti or dance, it's a little bit easier, I think, to widen it out to other cultures. I get emails all the time to my website from white kids who are saying, I don't feel like I'm welcome in the cypher, or I don't feel like I'm welcome at this rap club or that rap club. And I'm sure it's to do with the posturing around lyricism, you know?
See, I think
which is that you don't have that when it comes to dance.
But you see, with something like that, I feel that maybe that's more of a personal issue rather than necessarily something that's being projected from other people.
I think it's a mixture of their insecurity.
From my experience,
anyway. Yeah, I think it's a mixture of their own insecurity. And I've replied to as many of these emails as I can. I think it's a mixture of their own insecurity. But I do think there's also an exclusivity thing that we have sometimes within rap, and I'm talking about rap rather than hip hop, where it's like, this is us. Do you know what I mean? Don't get involved.
Okay, I see what you mean. Are you talking racially as well?
Yeah, racially, and there's a class element there too.
Okay, I think that there's a lot of struggle with that because I don't remember it being so explicit when Third Base came out.
For real.
Third Base were immediately embraced,
All Beasties.
And Beastie Boys. I mean, immediately. And they were part of the beginnings of this rap thing, this rap industry thing. So I think that...
And same when you talk about gender as well. Like, nowadays people feel like, oh, it's so misogynistic. It's like, it was never... Women were equally included in hip-hop from the outset.
Antoinette, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Queen Latifah.
JJ Fad, or whoever.
Fad, you know what I mean? So I think that... as the development of hip-hop as a word that means something, particularly in America, it's synonymous with working-class black males. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And then this whole appropriation game that's happening now, what, you're telling me that black people can't get Grammys in hip-hop now?
Mm. Well, I mean, they stopped broadcasting the hip-hop category of the Grammys, didn't they?
What? After
that, yeah, because it was... Remember when Wu-Tang did the Wu-Tang's for the kids? Okay. And then since then, they cut the rap category from the TV broadcast. Mm. But a couple of years ago, I brought my niece to a production you were doing where you did a one-man performance about you being nominated for an MBE.
That's right.
Which you turned down. Dun, dun, dun!
It was more of a dun, 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 thinking about how am I going to explain this to people?
Really?
That was the most difficult thing. When I got the letter, I remember my head just fell into my hand. Reason being was because I knew already that I wasn't going to accept it. That was not hard to do. What was hard was telling my big sister. Mm. Because she loves the Queen. She does. She's into that, you know. And I know that that would have made her proud. So, and I questioned what...
But at the same time, she knows that you're not as big a fan of the monarchy as
so
she
is. So what were the grounds? Was it purely monarchical or was it related to colonialism? I'm fascinated to know because my sister turned one down as well.
Okay.
But people have different reasons.
Yeah. My reason was specifically the name... Member of the British Empire.
Yeah, actually, Empire have a problem with.
You know, and that empire basically was the death of, you know, thousands of people, the rape of millions
pillaging.
Of women, pillaging, you know, and I'm not...
The birth of slavery.
The birth of slavery.
Mental colonization.
I mean? All of that, you know, and I think it would be awkward for me.
But also tea. just to put in a little plus.
Yeah.
That come from India, bruv.
I know, but we mastered that shit.
Yeah, we robbed it from them.
We mastered
it. And sold it out here.
It. And Chinese have mastered tea for morning. Don't you know that?
Yeah, but we put milk in it, bruv, and sugar. I mastered it. Yeah? I'm just reffing it for the white half of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
are we going to squeeze in a rap about anything or what?
Have you got a rap?
I've got one. I've written it.
Let's do it. Oh, my gosh. I haven't.
Shout out to everybody who gave suggestions. I'm trying to find you on Twitter, Rahil Ahmad, thank you. DJ Blue for the Coco comment. Matt Sibson for the In the Night Garden suggestion. Unicorns from Lady Stardust, thank you very much. But I'm going to go with Alex Corston's suggestion for a rap about anything. Service stations, inflated prices. My flipping phone's died and I wrote the rhymes on my phone.
Freestyle, shut up.
Everybody chill.
I'm going to start the beat
back.
Anyway,
start
seeing
the beat,
as we have 1 minute
don't
left.
Mean to vex
start
you, bro.
Let's do it. Let's go.
You get more gas than in Texaco.
Here we go. Let's go. All right, go.
Okay, it's going as fast as it can.
Sheesh. I'm driving round on a shopping trip, looking for a little juice I can stop and sip. Late night, shit's closed, man, I can't win. But I'm out here looking for a bargain. Ideally a Rio or a Lucozade or a cheeky milkshake. Ooh, behave, yeah. But my options are limited. And that McDonald's got enough annoying kids in it. Yeah, but I'm desperate, I'm so ashamed. Wrong turn, now I'm out on the motorway. What? If you were with me, you'd have heard frustration. No choice, gotta
pull into a service station, but it's late, man, I can't walk in though. Gotta deal with the man at the window. Alright, boss, can you grab an Oasis? You don't wanna know how serious his face is. It takes a minute, yo, but then off he bops to the fridge at the back of his little shop. And he returns with the bottle, tells me something now that makes me wanna throttle. Gives me the almighty price. Here you go, mate, that's $1.99.
What?
$1.99? Fuck off, are you having a laugh, bruv? Why? But he says that's the price. I get a real wild look in my eyes. Man, fuck you, and fuck your petrol station. I'ma go home thirsty, get me, brethren? Because where I'm from, an Oasis is 89p. Rude boy, you ain't skanking me.
That's right.
Jeez, what the fuck with these station prices? All I want to do is get a little nice drink. Oh, you ain't got no competition from the high street, but you ain't fucking with Doc, not likely. What the fuck with these service station prices? All I want to do is get a little nice drink. Oh, you ain't got no competition from the high street, but you ain't fucking with Doc, not likely.
Not likely.
Thank you, John C.D. Thank you, Sailor Love. And thank you to all our listeners.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Right now, we have a super special guest on the line. Rodney, can you hear me?
Yes. What's going on, Sarah?
It's so good to hear your voice. Rodney P, for those who don't know, legendary status MC who really has, you know, you broke down a lot of doors for a lot of cats doing it right now.
I would say, what's going on, Rodney, by the way?
What's going on,
I'm all blessed, bro.
Long time, brother.
Yeah, it's been a minute still. I would say personally, like, just as a fan, like, there's only two people in the game in terms of the UK, in my experience, and it's probably the two Rodneys, P and Rodney Smith, you know, I would describe as, like, timeless MCs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you listen to, like, you know, How's Life in London or whatever, but you also listen to the Murderer Style, and it's just something about you two and your styles. It's like...
Yeah.
You're not, like, you know, a lot of UK rappers is not even about...
I ain't gonna argue with you, bro.
It's not even about biting, like...
I would say what it is, you know what it is, it's just that we're two MCs who brought something unique.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You just had a voice that was your own.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, I noticed, I mean, like, you get some dudes, they're, like, catting... Like, obviously, back in the day, we used to have to worry about people catting an American accent.
Yeah.
But what's happened now is they're not catting American accents, they're just catting flows, like, so... Like, people are biting stuff without even knowing that they're biting. Like, and it hurts.
Yeah,
you feel me. Like, what's your style?
Here's the thing. I come from an era when the worst thing you could be called in the world was a biter.
Yeah.
Like, that was the worst thing you could be. To be told that you sound like someone else, that was fighting talk.
Horrific.
Now it's kind of the norm. It's kind of everyone, but it's like whoever's the most successful. And
exactly. That's what people are aiming for now.
The creativity. Mm. Right.
Yeah, for real. And I feel that that is a big part of why, like how you're saying, the Rodney is such a timeless voice, because you are you, and that was, you know, all nurtured through, like, the, you know, our principles in hip hop, isn't it?
Instantly recognizable.
Yeah, I'm a purist. I'm a hip hop kid from early. I'm
You'll even use the term purist, because some people feel a bit, like, ashamed to call themselves a purist, or almost like some people get treated like that's a dirty word to use in hip hop.
No, not at all. I'm a purist, absolutely, from the bottom of my heart. But I'm also about progression, so
of
I ain't about stagnating in the thing neither.
I know.
You better recognise where we come from and pay all due respect, so we can push forward on a firm foundation. Let's not stagnate the thing. I ain't stuck in 1984 or 1994 or 2004. I'm about next year.
I love you, Rodney. I'm shedding a single tear right now listening to the wisdom. No, honestly. No, but like you say, you're not stagnating, and that's what's another thing that's been ill about your career as a fan and also as a DJ, is that you've had a consistent flow of music coming out. You know, like, as a DJ, I want, and if you loved London Posse and had first discovered them, to be able to have tunes to draw from to play for, you know, around the world from an artist like you, that's a wicked feeling.
I think for a lot of the UK artists, if they're going to be honest about who they are, where they come from, there's going to be a reggae influence to it. You know, I embrace that. When we said, right, we're going to do this London Posse thing, and we're going to be authentic and talk how we talk and talk about where we came from, that was all part of it. That meant that instead of just looping up James Brown samples, which we still do and still love doing, it also meant, you know, looking for some Dennis Brown samples. So, you know, it's just about really you know, being honest to who you are and where you come from and representing that.
Yeah,
sound. That's what hip hop taught me. And I also, where you come from and do it well. So,
and I also think that that's like an important part of, you know, that's a duty as an artist, because, you know, that's you paying your respects to people who came before you, and then it's also sharing that information to the next generation, isn't it? So they're getting schooled the proper way.
Absolutely. But I'm not one of these people that say, you know, everything you say in your record has to be true.
It's entertainment.
I mean, it should have a thread of who you are. I should be able to feel your personality in whatever you're doing. But you have creative license to do whatever you like.
Imagine if they made a rule about the movies, like every single movie has, like everything that is in the movie has to
tell
happen.
The story of their life. Yeah, it's
so boring.
So, but I do also think that you shouldn't just be out here, you know, perpetrating a complete myth about who you are. There's a lot of people trying to sell themselves as people they ain't. I love
a rap storyteller, but I do hate a guy that's just purely like his whole swag is like how much
I
should be
afraid
of him. Do you know what I mean? I should be jealous of how much pussy he's got. I don't give a fuck. Like, I really don't care. Like, I've been listening to rap for too long to give a shit about them kind of boasts.
Absolutely. You know what? I don't care about it when Jay-Z says it. And I know Jay-Z's got the money. So when you little broke rappers start talking that foolishness, I really ain't interested.
I think the other thing is, like, you have a lot of rappers who's like, or artists, not even just in the hip-hop game, where they're getting a lot of buzz at the moment and they just think, I've made it, I'm top of the world, I'm the king, kind of thing. And then it's like, yeah, listen, in 5 years' time, these people are struggling to, like, put food on the table.
Who's giving them 5 years? I give them 12 months.
Yeah, for real.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Life comes and goes real quick. Like, you know what it is? I can't even act like holier than thou because I was that kid. You know what I mean? I remember when I first got my first record deal, I thought, this is my life forever. I'm top of the tree. You get me? But the difference for me and a lot of those kids is that my passion and love for this thing is real.
That's what I mean.
Honest.
And it wasn't...
It wasn't a desire to make records and be famous that got me here. It was the love of the music and the scene that got me here. And that passion remains.
And that's what I feel is different now, because celebrity is so promoted nowadays as that's the attainment. That's what we should all be aspiring to. I think you have a lot of young people who just think, I want to be famous, I want to be a celebrity, and they think, the route to do that is through rapping or whatever. And so, that's when you can fall on tough times, isn't it, if there's no, actual substance foundation.
You better love it first. I mean, you got to recognise that this ain't an easy road. Like, I'm sure all of us here in this conversation have seen the highs and the lows of this industry. It ain't all sun and laughter. Mm-hmm. So you got to love it. So, like I said, my passion for this thing is real.
Can I ask you about... Yeah, we touched on it a few moments ago, just talking about the relationship that British rappers, MCs, have with the Caribbean side of things in terms of musical culture, and how, you know, in the States, because the black community there... And this is a generalization, but the vast majority of the black community in the States, descendants of, you know, slaves who would have been there 400 years. Therefore, they don't really have that same connection to the Caribbean
that our parents
came here from the Caribbean. Just in terms of that, I wanted to ask you a little bit about this feature length documentary, which I've been hearing a bit about the relation between reggae and rap in the UK. Is there anything you can tell us about it?
What documentary are you talking about?
I forget the name of it, but
I wanted to hear about your documentary.
I see you tweet about it, and I've been told about it by a dude who used to write for Hip Hop Connection, who's been doing like a master's on the relationship between reggae and rap in the UK. My memory's so shit, I've totally forgotten the name. So I wanted you to grab
I have to say, mine's isn't the only documentary that's being made at the moment. And I know that a good friend of mine, Mark Force, who used to work at One Extra, has done a radio documentary on the same topic as
you. Okay.
A few people going down the same line.
Right.
But I think there definitely is a connection, especially with UK hip-hop, with reggae music.
No doubt.
Because a whole generation of us were trained in sound system culture before hip-hop. Mm. The first places I would be on the mic was in a reggae dance more than a hip-hop dance, because hip-hop didn't even exist for us back then.
Yeah.
You know, my favourite UK MCs are MCs who have that element of dancehall in their music, because... I know I recognise that.
Mm-hmm. And when you think even to jungle music and garage music, how much influence the reggae has had on that too, you know?
As an artist, I'm credited in the group I come from, London Posse, is credited as being the first UK group to use the UK accent, the authentic UK accent. And it's true, we were. In terms of hip-hop, we were. But our mentality came directly from UK sound system culture, sounds like Saxon Sound and Young Lion Sound, who had a mentality of we're UK blacks, but we're not from Jamaica.
Yeah.
So it's important we represent where we come from. That was the mentality within UK dancehall already. We took that mentality and applied it to hip-hop.
So what's the angle on your documentary? I mean, what
yeah,
are the
what
main
is the documentary?
Focus?
What's it called? What's
well,
it about?
The documentary is called Under the Influence. And what I'm trying to do, I'm actually trying to make a series of three documentaries. So there's one Under the Influence UK Hip Hop, Under the Influence UK Reggae, and one UK Soul Music.
Nice.
And they're all through the eyes of artists, the hip hop one being me, the reggae one being Tipper Irie from Saxon Sound System, and the soul one I haven't quite looked down yet, and I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by saying a name that ain't confirmed. But what it basically is about me as an artist saying, okay, I'm credited as being one of the pioneers of this UK hip-hop scene, but actually, I came and found a scene already here. And right. I actually came to it quite late. I wasn't even that early on the scene. So it's about me taking the light and shining it backwards and saying, these are the people who I were influenced by when I got here. These are the people who made the scene exciting for me and made it something that I wanted to be part of. Then going forward, it's about the release of the London Posse album and bringing the UK accent to the MC field and how that then influenced what came after us.
Yeah.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.